Good morning, everyone. It's time for worship to begin. But I have a long list of announcements. Please sign the registration pads, and hopefully you can pass them down your pew. There are the Upper Room devotionals are by the door. Please take one and use it. And if you don't want to use it, take it and give it to a friend who will use it. You can post your prayer request for April. And I'm having trouble seeing this morning. Got to get this up here. There are the new church directories are, I think they're on the table, Joanne, behind Rick. Okay, there are new directories if you haven't picked yours up. There's also birthday cards and note cards, and you're welcome to use them and take them. We want to thank Tom for mounting our defibrillator on the side of the office door. Now, good, we've made progress. We've got it up. Now we have to learn how to use it. And hopefully we don't need it, yes, but we need to be prepared. Bring a friend to church this Easter season, and I see the Connors have done a great job today. I want to give a shout out to Dave. It's so wonderful he's bringing Anna every once in a while, so Anna can get to church. So we thank him, and I know that she's happy, and we're happy that she's here. The flower orders, there's a slip on the back table, but get them in as soon as possible because I think it's Palm Sunday soon. Next Sunday's Palm Sunday, so we need to get the flower order in. And your prayer list has a very long list of people we need to pray for, so this list should make sure it goes home. I'm going to check the pews after church to see how many failed on that, because I don't think I'll see any left. I think they'll all go home. So are there any other announcements that need to be made? How about joys, our concerns? Dave? Four years old already. Thank you. Barb?
I have a joy.
Yay!
My husband and I are celebrating our 60th wedding anniversary on April 10th.
Mr. Heiser, you may ring the bell.
Thank you.
you're able, will you please stand for the call to worship? Respect for the Lord is good.
It will last forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true.
They are completely right.
By them your servant is warned.
Keeping them brings great reward.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Please, let's continue with the opening prayer. Shepherding God, bring us into your fold. Lead us beside the still waters and restore our souls. Help us to see the way we should go, the way we should live. Help us to hear your calling all in me, in living this time of worship, that we may find true life as we join others praising your name, celebrating your goodness, and refreshing your love for all people. Amen. Our hymn of praise is found on 139, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Good morning. I hope you enjoyed yesterday. It was a great day, weather-wise, and I was listening to the weather early in the morning yesterday, and the lady giving the weather said, "You can tell it. I can tell it's spring because my sinuses are starting to act up." And you know, I think that's going on with me too. So I think I should be thankful that it's spring. You guys will have to put up with my voice the way it is. It was a good day yesterday, and we were able to get a little bit done at our house, one of our big projects. Because we mow quite a bit of grass, we have two mowers, and the big thing in the spring is to get them ready. So the biggest part of that is changing the oil. Well, that should be an easy thing to do, change the oil. But these riding mowers, they have a little gizmo on them at the bottom of the motor, and you're supposed to turn it, pull it out, or pull it out and turn it. So, well, let me tell you, I've had a stroke, and there's certain things I can't do very well, but that's always been true. Anyway, I don't know if I need to tell the rest of this. I just wanted to tell it. It's always a real pain because that gizmo never worked right. Never. You can understand hearing me talk about it why it didn't work right. So when I was in the dealership getting the parts and oil filter and stuff, I said, "You know, that gizmo you have on these tractors, it's terrible." I said, "I always have trouble with it. Do you have something else we could put on there?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "Our guys that work on the mowers just hate that. And people who bring their mowers in all the time to get the oil changed, we just put it on. It's just a hose that's got an end on it that screws into the motor block. You guys know, you've got them." Well, it took me like, 8 years to figure this out. So I'm just happy now that it's going to be easy. What does the kid say? Easy peasy? To change the oil. So anyway, that's a little bit about what was happening in my life this week. I want to invite you to a time of prayer. I will lead us in our pastoral prayer. We will share the Lord's Prayer together. And then we'll sing the chorus from the hymnal Spirit Song 347. We'll start with silent prayers. Please remember concerns that have been shared, concerns you have in your heart, as well as someone that's on the prayer list this morning. We'll pray silently now. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here in this place this morning and to once again offer to you our praise, our gratitude, and our worship. We thank you for the good gifts that we have received from your hand. We thank you for this world which you have created, and we thank you for the seasons and this time of spring and evidence of new life everywhere. We thank you, and it helps us understand anew how you create life and you renew life. We pray that you would work that miracle in our lives and in the life of our church. Renew us make us alive again. And we pray, use us to share your love. We're thankful that you're a God who cares about people, and you care about those who are on our prayer list and those we have named in our hearts, names that have been spoken. You care for everyone. We lift those that we are aware of to you and ask for your grace and mercy and healing in their lives. We offer prayers for our world. And Heavenly Father, sometimes it's hard for us to know how to pray. But we pray that your will would be done in our world, and that you would use people, even people like us, to share your love and accomplish your will in our world. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes many different churches and denominations. We pray for the churches here in Douglas, Saugatuck, and surrounding area. We include ourselves and pray that you would help us together to share your love and make a difference in people's lives. Invite them to faith in you through your Son, Jesus. We offer prayers for ourselves and for this church. We ask for your forgiveness where our lives have failed to measure up to the standard that you have set for us. We pray that you would give grace and mercy to us and make us instruments that can be used by you to share your love. We offer prayers for this worship service. As we are together, may we experience your presence. May we hear from your word. May we be strengthened, able to serve you and serve others. Hear us now, we pray, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 16, verses 21 through 28. And you may find this in your pew Bible on page 17, if you'd care to follow along. I will be reading from the Life Application Bible. Again, Matthew 16, verses 21 through 28, page 17 in your pew Bible. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're going to offer a prayer for healing, and we'll follow the pattern that we have been. When the time comes, it's your opportunity to speak the names silently or aloud of those that you would want us to pray for this morning. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. This time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll worship God with our tithes and offering. Holy Father, we offer these gifts in our worship and our gratitude to you. Bless them and use them and us, we pray, to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we'll sing hymn on page 422, Jesus, Thine All-Victorious Love.
This morning is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Book of Romans, chapter 12, beginning with verse 9. Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you might speak anew through your messenger and through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In my sermon title, I ask a question. How do you tell a Christian? And I thought about that and thought maybe a better question is, how do I tell that I'm a Christian? I've, over the years, met a lot of people. I guess I don't want to say a lot. I've met some people who I thought were Christians, and I discovered later that they probably weren't. And I've met some people who I thought were not Christians, and later I discovered they really were Christians. I'm not sure it's our purpose. Well, I know it's not our purpose to judge people, but it's important to know with confidence that we are Christians. So the question is, how can you tell, how can I tell if I'm or you are a Christian? I remember when there was this very popular thing going on. I'm sure many of you will remember. It was the WWJD bracelets. You remember those? What would Jesus do? And the church I was serving at the time, there were some people who were wearing those bracelets. And I have a way sometimes of offending people. And in one of my sermons, I talked about how I didn't really like those. They didn't understand why I didn't like those. How many of those have you seen lately? When is the last time you saw one of those bracelets? Do you remember? They're not quite so popular anymore as they were back then, but they were the rage. And the thing about it was, yeah, people in the church were wearing them, but there were people who never went to church, never read the Bible, had no idea what it meant to be a Christian, who were wearing those bracelets. What would Jesus do? And this is what got me in trouble with folk, that I didn't like bracelet. Because I said, you know, it's one thing what would Jesus do, it's another thing what would Jesus have me do. And you might think, well, you're splitting hairs. Well, maybe I am, but I'm not Jesus. I can't do what he did. So what is it that he would have me do? Well, the point of all that is, sometimes people believe that if they do certain things, that makes them a Christian. In the scripture I read for you, Paul summarized the kinds of things that Christians do, and certainly we can judge our own actions by that. But at the heart of being a Christian is loving God and loving people. If you ask someone how you would tell a Christian, there are different answers you might get. They might say, well, if you attend a church, you're a Christian. Or if you read your Bible and you pray and you give money to the church and you try to live a good life, that makes you a Christian. For many years, not so much now, but it was a little bit, not the same as the bracelets, but I was involved in the Emmaus movement, and some people would say, especially if you were involved in Emmaus, some people would say, well, in order to be a Christian, you have to have, and then they would name the experience. You know, there are different experiences that people have, and the experience I have is not going to be the same experience necessarily that you have. True, to have an experience of God in your life is important, but not the exact same as anyone else. I read about this about a person who came to the United States from a foreign country, and one of the things that really, really surprised him was the instant. Everything is instant. He said he was shopping. He was a comedian, by the way, and he said he was shopping and he saw powdered milk. All you do is add water and you get milk. Then he saw powdered orange juice. Just add water and you get orange juice. And then he saw baby powder. And he thought to himself, what a country. Life really isn't that way, you know. It's just not. How does a person become a Christian, or how do we begin the Christian life? It is very simple. We accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and make a commitment to live our lives according to His will and way as best we understand it. Changes will take place in our lives, but they're not all instantaneous. And some changes take a long time as we grow in our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Martin Luther King used to say this, and I've heard other people say it as well. He would say, I'm not the man I should be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I think that's a mark of Christian experience. We are not perfected. This is good Methodist theology now. We're in the process of being perfected. Now, if you are already perfect, then you're heaven bound. Because the final perfection takes place at that time. So to be a Christian doesn't mean to be perfect or without fault or without sin. The important thing is to have begun, to begin. Mary and I attended a Bible college in Iowa, and it had its very beginnings in the Methodist tradition, but I guess this would be true, even saying this, it was a part of the holiness movement. And one of the doctrines that was taught in Bible college was the doctrine of sanctification. You don't hear much about sanctification in the Methodist Church these days. You hear other expressions, I think, that mean that. But sanctification is the growing in Christ. It's the process. And it's not... There are people who have claimed to have a kind of an instantaneous experience, but for most of us, it's a process that takes time. Growing in God's grace, learning and practicing what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In our scripture, Paul is identifying characteristics of a genuine Christian, and he lists those qualities of character that we are to strive for in our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those who do not know the Lord. And those work. Those work. As I was reading that, I remembered something that happened at camp years ago. You know, he there at the end of that, he talks about not returning evil with evil, but returning evil with good. There are opportunities to do that. We were at camp, and we were in family groups, and each family group had a boys' tent and a girls' tent, and the bunk beds were inside the tents on a wooden platform, and all our stuff was in there. When we went to our swim time, when we came back, everything was out of our tent. Everything. Somebody played a joke on us. They took our sleeping bags, our beds, our suitcases, everything, and put it outside. So we had to put it all back. And the counselors weren't happy about that, and neither were the kids. They thought, that's a terrible thing. We'd like to get even with them, you know. But we didn't know who had done it. And so I looked around, and I saw on the ground a tennis shoe print, you know, a footprint, and it looked rather unique. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was different. And no one in our group had shoes like that, that kind of print on the bottom. So I looked around, and I found the family group, or at least some of the family group that had done that to our camp group. And so the next question was to our kids is, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to get back at those kids? And of course, some of them wanted to just, when they went to their next swim period, to take everything out of their tents and, you know, return them. But I said, let's do something different, because the Bible says that we should do good to those who do evil or bad to us. And so we started being really, really nice to this family group. We gathered firewood for them. In the dining hall when we ate, there would always be somebody at the table that would get food for, and we sat in table groups. So we started having people from our table group getting food for their table group. We were just went out of our way to be really, really nice to them. And honestly, they did not know what to do. They were fearful. They thought, those guys are just setting us up. They're going to come back sometime when we're not here and do something to get even. But we never did. And I think it proved that what Jesus says works. But beyond that, it's the way he wants us to live. I read a story about a man who was walking down the street. He went by a bookstore, and in the window there was a book with the title, How to Hug. How to Hug. He thought it might be interesting, so he bought the book. But he was disappointed when he brought the book home. He opened it up and he discovered it was an encyclopedia covering subjects beginning with the word how and going through the word hug. The church sometimes is guilty of giving people an encyclopedia on theology and biblical knowledge instead of just giving a demonstration of how to live as Christians. Paul begins with these words, let love be genuine. The NIV says, love must be sincere. The Phillips translation says, let us have no imitation Christian love. Imitation Christian love. Paul says, no acting, no pretending. Your love for people must be genuine and real. Love for God, love for the things of God, love for people, those are genuine marks of a Christian. And, you know, the song, we're not singing it this morning, but the song rings true. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. That's how you tell a Christian. That's how you tell if you're a Christian. Heavenly Father, we have experienced your love through your Son, Jesus, and we have come to believe him and accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Continue to transform us and make us more like him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn in your hymnals to the very front, page 12, and we'll be using a portion of the order of service there as we prepare for communion. Hear the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's be in an attitude of prayer as we pray silently, asking for God's forgiveness in our lives. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. On the night that he was prayed, Jesus shared a last meal with his disciples, the meat and wine, and he told them, what Jesus did for us on the cross, and in him, may we receive Christ and all that he has done for us anew into our hearts and lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping serve to come forward at this time. Communion. Communion in the Methodist
Church means that anyone who believes in Christ or receives Christ will receive the elements. So come forward to the center aisle, receive the elements, and turn to the outside aisle or seats.
The space is
limited, but
invite you to come. I invite you to stand, if able, as we sing our closing song, 389 in the hymnal, Freely, Freely. Benediction as it's printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives, in the name of Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.